what we might do in addition to that or in parallel with that. We're just in waiting for getting that. So I will turn it over to you, Barbara.
Do you want me to wait for?
No, we can go ahead.
Tom, okay. So at first I was going to introduce the people that had to go back to work, but we did have Fred why am I losing it? Walker, our Virginia chair, and Avani Gala, who's one of our brand new and wonderful people from Virginia, from Arlington, but they did have to go back to work. So my objective, this is my second, you'll remember, my second private audience with you guys. I'm thrilled. I'm sorry. My second, okay, that one was private because it was before we were public. That's right. Okay, so my objective is to kind of walk through the work plan and give you, there's an update already here, but I don't know if it's anything you've had an opportunity to even see. But, and to get any kind of guidance that you want to offer, it can be as simple as, oh, hurry and do that. We like that. Or it could be, you know, I don't know this is the right time for this sort of thing. And so to help put the brakes on and any other in between. So that's what I want to do is just kind of supplement what's here with what, just some comments. You know, this is a very aggressive compared to what we've done historically. I mean, it's a long list, and we cautioned the group. We didn't want to dampen their enthusiasm because there were people that brought in things that they really felt passionate about. And so we figured that some would fall by the wayside gradually for whatever reason. So this is where we are. So the first two were with our Budget and Finance Committee. And the first one has passed is that when we had those options on the table that did impact writers, fair changes, we did provide Mark did a presentation to us. We gave him his feedback. And so that one was completed. But we were happy to see it taken off the table. Yeah, I know. But I think our generally from what we knew and saw from ourselves and the people that we interact with was that we felt that writers were probably going to be more apt to want to pay more than to lose service. And don't know if that's true, if that will be borne out by surveys, that love the surveys that Lynn's group is leading. But that was our take. Anyway, we are now in the midst of looking at fair simplification. This actually came up a couple of years ago in the prior budget cycle. And fair simplification, I guess, isn't simple, or else it's been done a long time ago. And we did meet with the committee met with Mark Schofield, our budget committee, and talked a lot. He really was very helpful and informative about a lot of concepts and guidelines and things they've already researched or numbers to associate with things, pros and cons of things. And we have another new member, Jeremiah Bush, who's, I think he's D.C., but, you know, he's Fairfax. I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, well, he's your guy. He's wonderful. And he and I had a conversation just last week about where he stood on this, and he's like a walking encyclopedia now from my point of view of all the things that Mark has instilled in him. But what we really think the next step is to try to meet jointly again, a few of us with Mark, because there's so many things that I just think that the back and forth would be a good thing for us to proceed. And I think, but one question, this is one of those that I actually wonder, is this a good time to even talk about this? Because with so many things in the works, whether it's, you know, the proposed thing for feedback and still all of the follow-up to the January incident, is this even a time? I mean, even if all in all, it's supposed to be revenue neutral, is what we're saying, but still, there are people that won't consider it. A lot of people. There's winners and losers. And you know, the worst of both worlds would be that they all think they're losers because they notice what they're losing and they don't notice what they're gaining. So I guess that's a question. Is it something to even invest time in on this budget cycle? Because it would be, what we would do is continue over the summer while there's, you know, various while we have a little bit of a hiatus, we're actually going 10 weeks without a meeting because we're skipping August and September's being delayed because of the room availability. So, but we thought we would tackle it if it's something that makes sense. Any take you have on that?
Well, that I should be thinking about if there are some better ways to make it easier for people to make the transactions. But I will tell you, I would weigh it very hard in terms of, you know, the equity part to see how.
Well, right, and that's where I think it's helpful to have Mark with us at the mm-hmm. time, because then he was able to weigh it. That is one thing that I would fail
right.
to ask him.
Forgot I turned it off. We talked about, or one of the concepts that Mark had said, we look at having a flat fare regardless of the time of day. And then I got to thinking, well, is it the people that are currently traveling at off-peak, are they more likely to be people who don't have the 9-to-5 jobs and they may be impacted more? Or is it all the people going to the games where they're already spending $100 for a ticket? And they aren't, maybe, they, you know, we don't know the numbers. We don't know the numbers. So that's just one of many examples. And so, but again, it's the last thing we want to do is obviously, you know, contribute to anything that would be, oh, you're going to raise my fare and you're going to make me wait an extra minute, you know?
And the bad news is we are going to raise everybody's
fare.
That's
true.
That's
going to happen.
We were very successful this year in postponing it.
You're right.
That's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
So as we come back in the fall and start looking at the budget for 2017, 99.9% sure fares are going to go up. And it's the year in which that would be scheduled to happen.
Right.
Which means it's the better time to be looking at any other changes in conjunction with.
Well, I think that was what was behind Mark telling us it's kind of now or not for a couple more years. Yeah. So, okay. Continue to look. Okay. Great. Thank you. I'll move on to the customer service things.
Safety is a continuing concern.
Right.
Coming off of the the FTA.
Yes.
Findings. Very serious concern about communications. We're going to be looking at a lot of things in regard to the response to that. And again, you can keep tuned in on that. There may be some areas where we could get some valuable input.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
I figured you were hijacked.
All board members.
Yes. Yeah. So, let me grab another.
We'll share.
No, you got your writing on it.
I don't want to lose your writing.
I've got it on my
it's on those
and
then off
of our copy. Oh, I just didn't know that term. I didn't even know the term, so that was great to me. So, well, the first thing on our top priority is from the customer service group, the safety. And our intent was we knew there would be a lot of communications and stuff going forward. And we wanted to collaborate with the staff on particularly the rider-related safety procedures, you know, not either what riders are doing or what people are doing with or for the riders, incident training, clear and timely communications. And we have had several things that have been an outgrowth of that. Mr. Bodmer coming to us and talking, and a few of us participated in the April drill, and I understand there's another drill coming.
Another drill's every quarter of one type.
Right. I've actually, I think, heard a date, too, so we know that's coming, and we'll be part of that. We also looked at the safety video as a group and have provided, we have feedback for Lynn on that. I know there was a very important emphasis on getting that to the street quickly, and she's come to us even asking us, how can we get more people to look at that? I guess maybe I mentioned that at a board meeting, too, because, it's good news, bad news, and you want more people to see it, but it's nice to know that they're not thinking, oh, my gosh, where is it? Where is it? They're not looking for it. We would love to be a part of anything that is being worked on, but I have a lot of personally have a lot of confidence in Lynn and the people and how much thought they put into the communications. And but we always are welcome any opportunity to participate in that. And you'll actually hear a little bit more about safety in a minute. We one of our initiatives for customer service was also to talk about, to look at the Blue Line service and see, you know, after, well, throughout this first year, and now at the end of the first year of the Silver Line's existence, if there's any adjustment that can be made in favor of the Blue Line. So we were, it was, you know, we were very interested to see the presentation last week, I think it's last week, on the new possibility that will be going out for public. Yes, I was. Yes, and it was, I think, the same presentation we had last week.
So, you know, as the discussion evolved, it was made pretty clear this is not a fixed proposal.
Right.
It's really an outreach to say,
yes,
we've got a limited amount of resources, particularly to think of the capacity of the Roslyn tunnel. How do we best use them? And what's the customer's feeling about reliability of travel time versus crowding versus other things? And we're not going to make a decision until we hear more about what those trade-offs are.
Yeah, and Jim was very clear, as he was today, about his objective was to see, for take it, our take on, is this something that we think is a good idea to take forward to the people and ask, and it was absolutely. We did also, as you did today, give some feedback, some initial feedback, although the most basic thing was, you know, questions, as many of you had, and some of them the same questions, but you also had more that we hadn't had. I think in general, I would say that we didn't have a lot of tremendous concern about it. It was more questions. Well, how, you know, is that really going to happen? Will, I think there's a good selling point in that if you are more likely to get through in a predictable amount of time and it's not radically different from what it is today, maybe even better. But obviously not always better because things happen. But
you want a little more ability to recover.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I think that there was definitely not any outcry of this is terrible. It was really a very positive response.
Yeah.
But it was always based on more information.
Yeah, and I think that bears out one of the conversations of this morning is pretty much the broader response has been negative.
Yeah. Oh, it has.
This is a service
Well, because they advertise.
Yes.
The more you can explain it, the better you can say, no, it's a service trade-off.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's something that, because I am a blue rider and one of the ones that often switched to yellow, was switched before I retired, I fully expect that at first glance, the blue people are going to love it and everybody else is not.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the majority, by far the majority. And so you have to look further, and like with me, because I do take all the different lines for one reason or another, you know, red to get here and so forth. So I can see that he made a point that I can't remember if they made today, was that it sounds like, you know, you're going from 6 to 8, which is 2 minutes, but if on the average with a 6, you have a 3-minute wait. On the average with an 8, you have a 4-minute wait. That's a 1-minute difference. And I can easily picture 1-minute savings when you go through a half an hour or more, if you can just keep going. So,
and one of the things that on the highway planning side has come much more to the front has been not what is the distance between point A and point B, not even what is the travel time, it is what do you need to set aside for triple liability. That you might be able to make it in 30 minutes one day. You can't make it in 90 minutes another day. You have to think about it. This is really aimed at that. That you can say from Vienna to McPherson, it's a trip I used to take. It's a 35-minute trip.
And you've got to count that. Maybe 45 minutes.
See, and that was my trip for 9 years, was Vienna to McPherson.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was 30, for me, it was 30 to 35.
Right.
And but, you know, that, to me, a lot of times I talk to coworkers who choose to drive, and they talk about, well, you know, they sometimes it's they don't like being confined or under the river, stuff like that. But sometimes it's they would say, well, you know, I can just, you know, I like being in control. Well, and I thought, excuse me, it's exactly what you said. Is that, yes, even when it feels like there's a big delay, sometimes I look and it's 10 extra minutes, but it seemed huge because I may have sat somewhere for 10 minutes or had to offload and then get back on. But the variation is still almost, I think, I don't know, 90 what percent, it's you know, maybe 10 minutes variation, whereas driving, it can be a 3-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
It can be an hour and a half to go what could be 20 or 30 minutes. So I think to the extent that people want something predictable, it's a
and
step in the right direction.
The meeting, I'm really excited about this as a piece of data that people should understand. We know when every, not you personally or me personally, but we know every person who gets on at every station and everywhere they go, and it's strictly the matter of turning the dials to say, today the average trip from point A to point B was 32 minutes. Tomorrow should still be 32 minutes. And, you know, once we start reporting on that, I think people...
You know, it's interesting because everything I saw today looked like what we got. But I'm thinking we might have had more stuff because I remember somebody, it may not have been him. It may have been something Sean presented to us at another time. But we definitely have seen the... You start here, and this is how many of them go here versus there. And so there's a wealth of information. So,
You know, one of the things I think you'd be helpful with is making sure that we get as much customer feedback. And we were talking about how we have a public hearing versus the other alternative meetings, being able to get to as many people with it, because I think it's going to need a lot of fleshing out, and so I think we're going to want to have as many customers actually having gotten some of those presentations, and hopefully they will be much clearer than they were today in terms of trying to help us understand the problem and what does this solution give me as an option if I evaluate it. So
I think that's one of the things that we saw as we communicated that night to Jim, is that we had a concern for how, if we had to all sit around here and ask all these questions, how can it be packaged and communicated in a way that, I mean, and I know the group of people that do that really well, but it seems like it would be a challenge to get them to understand it quickly enough so that they don't make a quick reaction on a piece of it that's not really representative of the whole. So we do want to help on that. And we always try really hard to get to whatever hearings there are and to take the word out. Let's see. You know, the rails, research the rail station operation rules, we met with Rita Davis, the whole committee for customer service met with Rita Davis and two of the other people in management from rail station operations. And we had a really great dialogue about what they do and how they're selected and trained and so forth. And I personally, Bob Vogel and I were both invited to go to training that he wasn't able to and I was. So I attended one of their classes and I was really impressed with, you know, all of that they put into the training, and also I think just how much they need to be trained on. So many things that come under the role of the station manager. There were only a few things that the committee as a whole thought might be something worth pursuing, and we have a draft of some recommendations that we put in front of the RAC, but we're still trying to decide whether we want to keep all of them or not. But they're in the topic of one that may actually, unrelated to us, is the uniforms. We thought it would really be helpful to know.
I'm still waiting to see when that happens.
Yeah, either really wasn't. Okay, well, we think it's a great idea. Either.
So, a year and a half later, still hadn't had, not had a fashion show.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
A year and a half.
Well, we think it's a great idea.
So Bob called me about, we were chatting about
that. Oh, okay.
He asked me about that and other ideas that, well, and I wanted you all to chew on and give us some feedback, which besides getting the station managers to look like they are the right person to come up to rather
right.
than in a vest.
Yellow vests. A lot of yellow vests.
A lot of yellow vests. You know, they look like they work on a railroad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Versus
yeah.
ownership of the station.
Right. Yeah.
And now they have their little name tags. Yep. You know, they're pretty small. I want them in lights. I mean,
well, you know, yeah. And
there's something a little bit bigger yeah. than the principal's door. And then he talked to me about some of the things that you were uncovering that we need to know about. Some of the station managers that I've come across are they're not even in the kiosk. They're somewhere.
Yes, they are outside of the kiosk because
well,
some are outside.
Actually
some are very
approaching customers.
Yes, approaching. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I told a guy, I told the station manager Union Station last week that one the fare gates were open. People were just walking right in. Well, he was helping someone.
Oh, he was,
so
yeah.
I said, look,
yeah,
he
can't always see.
Yeah, but he was way out.
Yeah.
And he goes, thanks very much. He did some genie in the bottle thing.
Yeah.
In fact, it was, I don't know what he did, but anyway.
Yeah.
He thanked me. I said, well, you know, people were just walking right through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have myself occasionally tell them because they can't necessarily see the escalators, whether they're working or not. And sometimes it's obvious it's not supposed to be working because there's scaffolding everywhere. But sometimes it's like, you know, I wonder why. And so I mention, and do you know? And they often say, no, I didn't know because you can't be everywhere all the time.
Well, I've done that before where they go, I didn't know it was up or down or not functioning.
Well, apparently it's pretty sensitive that there are a lot of things that can happen that it turns off for safety purposes, and that so there's a good
Wait.
Reason. But unless somebody tells them, they don't know.
So anyway, back to the station managers. What other considerations did you all come across?
Well, they did tell us that they're supposed to be during peak rush hour, be outside the kiosk,
yes.
which then does complicate it knowing which one it is in case there's another one there too. But we actually have a difference of opinion on the rack about, well, I'd like to have them in there so that I can find them for sure. But mostly, I appreciate the one at McPherson that was there for a long time. It was wonderful, and every morning I could see him on his mat right outside the kiosk ready to help anybody that came up. I thought that was great. But we heard there is an actual guideline that they're supposed to be out, and we don't know, I don't know how, if that's policed in any particular way or not, because this is all very subjective. But the subjective opinion of the rec is that they don't see them out there very much. They're more likely inside. But that is totally subjective. So we're not even sure if that's going to ultimately make it into any recommendations. So there was the uniform that. And one of the things that we heard was that oftentimes, you know, the incident occurs, and oftentimes the people that are going to come help are coming on Metro, on the rail,
yeah.
and that's a challenge. And so we just asked, well, are there other options? We're not obviously the ones with the purse strings that can say what other options could be, whether more people could have cars or whatever it is. But it seemed like, we always hear that there are only so many people, and during an incident it's hard for someone to do everything, and that if there were a way to get help there faster, it would be probably a good thing.
In some incidents, as I recall, are responded to by vehicle.
Yeah. Are they?
If there's a track, if there's a track problem, they're stationed here, they get in the car, and they drive to where they're going, and in fact, they have a police escort.
Maybe that's the station manager
right.
staff.
Yeah.
Right.
Rob told us last month, I asked him a question about deploying.
Yeah.
He said there are two groups that are
right.
the employed somewhere.
Yep.
That can respond by dealing.
Yep.
I don't know where they are.
Yep.
Well, now that you mention it, though, since we were only talking to the station manager, they
yep.
were probably
right.
talking about their own personnel who
right.
can come and bail.
Yeah, yeah
help,
that's different
help.
From those who are responding to a track problem or a signal problem
right.
or whatever.
But that does lead to one of the questions. This is not an issue as much as something we want to understand more about is that the chain of command when there is a when there's something that's a significant enough delay that you want to say something to the riders on a in a station or on a train and just something we want to find out because it sounded like that we weren't sure what the station manager could actually do on his own versus escalate to other people, which I understand there are a lot of good reasons to want to have
yeah.
somebody else sanity check what the wording is, but then there's also you have to the happy medium between too quick to be hasty to saying something and being too long to
mm-hmm.
not give people an answer when they want it so they don't start doing things we don't want them to do. So these are things we're still looking at, but we learned a lot. And one of the things I want to do is make sure we keep some of this knowledge for the next RAC and the next RAC.
Mm-hmm.
But since we have a third turnover, it's
yeah.
like you experienced today about, oh, you've got the new guys, and they don't know that this
mm-hmm.
is how that works. So anyway, and the last thing was about bus stops. We haven't really done much on that, but we've talked about, you know, a lot of people would wish there were more maps, more schedules, but we also know that isn't totally under the control of a lot of that's the bus jurisdiction
mm-hmm.
and so forth. But and I was able to go to a meeting about the study that's being done on bus that was in the works that's been for over a year about recommendations on standards and best practices. And I think some of the things that we were interested in were things that they had incorporated too. Yes, yes. Sure. I will ask that because I know with the first one on Blue, I was there the day it opened, but I was on it just a couple days later and when it was really novel still, and I just coincidentally got that one. And people were pretty happy about it. They thought that was pretty cool. I mean, everything is a plus to it. There's more information. It's more visible, accessible.
You smell like a new car?
It's
still good.
It smells like a new something. I don't know.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so I don't think there's anything possible that
the Accessibility Committee wants us to put on.
Oh, I saw that.
Armrests.
Yeah.
And that's,
I saw that. And I think from because I have some challenges,
yeah.
I often rely on my
mm-hmm.
arms. But I will also say, right or wrong, sometimes the people that are sitting in those seats need extra space. And I don't know.
I guess the staff is unwilling to.
Oh, really?
It is a concern that, and I haven't had the chance to be on them, but just having been on them and understanding how they have more accessibility seating. And so I think that's one of the reasons that they were feeling that, okay, putting the armrest in now. It's going to be, if you put armrests on all of them, then you really do make it difficult for everybody. Because it isn't just getting up. You can't sit in the seat without, for example, this morning, I joined somebody else on a seat. Well, it would have been very inconvenient to get around an armrest,
mm-hmm.
sit down.
Well, yeah, you're having to kind of squeeze in. Yeah, I mean, I can
you don't make
picture black and blue marks. I really...
Well, you don't take advantage of as much of the space. That's
yeah.
it. And the accessibility
oh, yeah.
space was increased because in
right.
the design.
Right.
And then it's still an open issue with the AAC about the location for the
oh, yes.
wheelchair tie-down, although
right.
the more
right.
I hear about it, the more I think it's not anything that can be done. It's a
yeah.
structural issue.
Yeah, I would defer to them always
yeah.
on those
yeah.
issues.
Yeah.
I think the number of times it would help people maybe more than other times it's a problem, but I don't know. I trust them on that one. But I think there's really just good stuff to hear about it. I can't imagine somebody saying, I like the old carpet better.
Yeah.
Or.
I'm just thinking, there's things people
have. Oh, yeah.
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 Things aren't bright enough.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'll ask that question of the, I will ask that question. I'll do that.
I will say, I wrote over on the red line this morning.
Oh, you got a new one?
No, it wasn't a new one. Although I did pick one up on the red line a couple of weeks ago. But no, I was going to say the operator had the most clear enunciation I have ever heard. Now, he spoke very slowly.
He said, it was electronic enough.
No, this is one of the older cars, not the new car. But it was like every word was clear, crisp, but then a long gap to the next one. This is the red line. But at least he understood what he was saying.
But I will say that is one of the comments I heard, too, about, wow, that was really clear, the announcement that was made on the new car. Yeah, it really was great. It was great.
How about this, Barbara? I'm interested in your committee's thoughts about, in BART in San Francisco, the trains stop in a place that is a centimeter off, so people are queued up to get on the train rather than bunched up like they're off, they're loading, and the rail car is faster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that makes any sense. It seems to expedite loading. But our cars don't stop at the same spot every.
Well, they're a lot closer now than they used to be just because they're all going forward, all the way forward. It's much more predictable than it was years ago, before that, the red line, I think.
It was the eight car trains because they were, when they added eight, they were always overshooting and they had to go back and realign to make sure that they were in the right place. So now they're much, much easier to get to.
Nobody knows where to stand.
Yeah, unless you are 100% familiar with that station, you know. I stood here yesterday and the car was, the door was in front of me, maybe. But
we did talk about that at some point about a year or two ago. Yeah. And I had raised that, or some of us had talked about having a strip that says, you know, if it's something to the extent of if it's a six-car train, it's going to end here. Like at Farragut North, coming from McPherson to here, I know I can't get on L Street, and I have to go up like two or three lengths of cars to get to anywhere they're stopping. And then
that's my station. I agree. If they don't let you go in one side of the station, only the L Street side, rush hour.
I didn't know that, but I only come from now. Yeah. So
we'll come down the escalator, go through, and then the train pulls in. You got to run.
I just run from the beginning, just in case. But at least some of the people, because the rack is full of, you know, regular riders, they said, we all know exactly where we're supposed to stand because they do it every day. Well, because I might take blue or I might take yellow and do a transfer and I might go to, you know, I don't always remember the one I do the most often I remember. But I think those would be helpful. But you could, in theory, do the queuing. I don't know if
the New Yorkers
probably,
do something different.
Yeah.
Bart, they've been very good about queuing up New York. At least they've put in boxes. Don't stand in this box.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He said, stand on either side of it. The box will be where people can get off, and then people will flow in.
Oh, that sort of thing. Yeah, I can see the advantage because there's been talk about that on buses, too.
That's dwell time.
Yeah.
Somebody to get out of the way.
I can ask what people think about that.
Well, we were talking earlier about headways. You know, we're losing headway because people can't get on and off the train.
Well, that
is true.
That is very true.
Well, most people are, Red Sea, but not always.
I mean, it feeds on itself, too. If you've had a delay and one train is full, it's then going to have dwell time problems, which, by the way, is one of the reasons that the control center will hold the second train long enough for things to clear.
Yeah. Otherwise,
it's always painful if you're sitting there saying,
why am I sitting here?
I remember years ago, there was a wonderful operator that I get regularly on the morning train from Vienna, and he had the diocese point of view. I just, you know, I promise if you get off the train to let the people out, I won't leave until you get back on.
Yeah, I remember him.
Things
yeah.
like that. I know you can't standardize that. Yeah. Not everybody can pull that off. But I think there is a fear of that, mm-hmm. you know, that people yeah. want to be pushing their way to the front, not queuing up, unfortunately. But I think it's worth talking
when
about.
Why don't you have
yeah.
the committee talk
I will.
About the box?
Yeah. The box, the queue, and the
and it's
box.
It's not on every station, but it's in the very congested stations like Grand Central, like 59th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Box down on the pipeline.
Right now, the
that will be a problem, yeah.
I didn't That's know right. that.
Yeah, the doorway yeah. spacing is different. You're right.
The cars are the same length? But the doors are not?
The doors are a different location. On the car.
They're not as close to the ends, maybe? I don't know. Yeah. I didn't know that. I hadn't noticed that.
They're not exactly yeah. in the same place.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 A couple more.
Yeah. Yes, I need to.
Yeah.
So the PPP, our programs, projects, and planning, which is vaguely like yours in terms of topics, they are collaborating with the AAC on priority seating. I think it's primarily for bus, but I know that occasionally Patrick has commented at the board meetings that you know, the two groups are coming at it a different way, and I just got a lot Ivana, who I believe gave me the insight on that, is that they are rightfully thinking about the person who really needs the seats and what needs to work for them to do that and how it accommodates them. And our group has been looking more about how do we keep the people out that don't need those seats. And I think that the two together make for a nice holistic approach. So they're probably will be they're going to be meeting again in another week or so, and there'll probably be some recommendations at some point coming to you. One thing that they really have this committee has worked on is mobile apps, and I can't remember who they have met with on the staff, but they have with someone, and there are a lot of apps out there, but there are not WMATA apps. There are private individuals, private parties, private companies. And so it's their point of view that if something doesn't work quite right, people will blame WMATA. They don't make that distinction of, oh, this is theirs versus theirs or whatever, but that it might be an image issue. And I'm sure there are a lot of factors to take into consideration, but they think it would be, this is what they're thinking through, is they would love to see WMATA have one that, whether you develop it or just partner with somebody, or maybe even partner with one of the people that's doing it now, and there might be some branding opportunities and a way to have something be the image of WMATA. But that's not a formal recommendation. That's just the kind of thing they're looking at, and for you to say, hey, sounds like a great idea, or come on, we don't want to take on anything like that.
Going back 5-6 years, WMATA sat there like this and said, it's our data and nobody
Google.
Else can have it.
Oh, but then it is open for the others, yeah,
then,
right.
Yeah, then they opened it up. Now we're seeing lots of competition, lots of bright ideas, but they may not be good ideas, or they may not be working as well as they could. I don't know if we can have a WMATA good housekeeping seal, but
that might be an idea.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah.
By the way, have you been here the whole time while I said all those nice things about your group? I didn't even see you. Right.
Your website.
Because professionally speaking, yeah, when a few years ago even, the development was always do it for the web, do it for the desktop, laptop user, and then later modify it and make make sure it's mobile friendly and first tablet friendly and mobile friendly. Now it's like start with
mobile
the
first.
Mobile,
yeah.
And yeah, maybe, you know, which I know that doesn't help every user. You know, there is definitely a huge usage from home and from somewhere, from work. Mm-hmm. But the growing and growing and growing part seems on almost everything being the mobile. Everybody's,
right, so
it's everybody's phone.
We get on the mobile, we'll have social media input. So, mobile app, we have Redline. Mike Goldman, my colleague, is, you know, stranded at Bethesda. He goes on social media and reports that there's a problem in Bethesda. Can you? Really?
Yeah, there are people that go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to confirm it, though. You have to be confirmed.
Well, that's good to know. No, I appreciate that, because I don't know. I don't remember who it was they met with, but I think it was somebody in mobile technology. It was? Is that? Oh, okay, great. Good.
So we're going to have, like, EPAs on these lines, then? On the new mobile lines?
Got to go.
Good.
Oh, sorry. Okay, and cell phone service, I really haven't put any time in on that. I know there's all kinds of other people applying pressure on that, and I'm hearing, and the day that I saw you, Mr. Goldman, say, come on, why aren't we with this? I had somebody else sitting next to me that's on the staff that was saying, oh, we can't do that. So that's not our number one priority right now. And nor is the whole thing with regional transit systems, because there was at budget time there was some talk.
I think it's a priority piece. It's just that we can't get through the process of getting order
yeah.
to get
through. It may be there's some light there about
getting
to an agreement.
Yeah,
once there
an
is
agreement,
an agreement and a plan forward, we'll probably want to brief the ROC on what to expect and when.
I didn't know there was
love
something.
To be able to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We thought we were going to do it. We thought we were there.
They did spend some time with Tom Randall, and they didn't have the same sense of what was said long ago or anything like that, but they were impressed with what was being done and how it was being done. Didn't probably even have a sense of what was not there, like mm-hmm. Some of the mobile stuff, some of the new card stuff, some of the parking. But they were impressed with what they had. They weren't thinking that there were any recommendations that they saw on our horizon. But we know there are those concerns and would be happy to help test parking when that's available and that sort of thing. But we'll work with Tom on that. And then the last one, and not least, of that category is we had already started, this committee had already started gathering ideas about, gee, there's so many people out there now, there's internet technology. If we're considering something, if we could have a way to take advantage of the internet and then, lo and behold, then the presentation just last week from Lynn and Jason about the proposed community feedback initiative, and that I think you maybe got a couple weeks ago. Yeah, and so we want to, you know, collaborate with that because we were thinking something like Twitter, but I know there are all kinds of issues that would have to be worked out about. You know, we don't. We don't want to look like we're doing this thing and they're doing that thing. So maybe we should just be tapping into what they are doing. We're not very far along on that, but we are thrilled to hear about that because we think there is so much capability that she's already demonstrated, like after the January incident. And then the last two are internal things about how we want to work more, work with Lynn and others about the information that she gets, like after the incident, and see what the people are saying and just providing tools for each other. So that's it. If there's anything else you'd like to say about G.
Yeah, Vogel needs to do more work.
Well, the customer list is long. He doesn't want to give up on any of these.
Oh, I know.
Well, tell him he has to work hard.
I'll tell him.
And
I will.
Board unanimously.
Okay.
Appointed by Mr. Goldman. Goldman.
Goldman's appointed.
Based on my recommendation.
He's not producing.
Oh,
he's not pulling his entire
He has
weight.
Been.
He's only going to get 6 out of 10.
He has been a wonderful partner to me. You know, I was, last year Carol's chief lieutenant in terms of I took her overflow or whatever. Because we're both on the customer committee, though, he's been very helpful to me, and I nothing but praise.
He's almost free time.
But it doesn't sound like he really does. It sounds like he's still doing stuff.
He is. He's working for a regional council.
That's right. Yeah.
National Association of Regional Councils.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he would have been here if we'd have done it 2 weeks ago, but we know that that didn't work out. So thank you. And if you think about anything else that we didn't say that you want us to do, please tell us, because our title says we advise. And
I don't see anything on your agenda that you shouldn't be looking
at. Oh, well, I was kind of hoping for some of that.
A couple of the ones that you're looking at not that closely, like cell phone and all, probably best left for a bit. But the things that you're busily into are things that we're concerned about.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We will. Thank you very much. Sorry to keep you, and sorry to not let you do that other thing at the start.
Oh, no.
Not give you an excuse to get away.
Yeah, before anybody gets away,
oh, that's right.
We need a motion to approve the minutes of the March 26th meeting with the AAC, with the RAC, and the May 28th with the AAC.
So moved.
And second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No opposition.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's okay if you approve it.
Yeah, I saw the other notes there. You.